Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
So I have some questions here. How can you manage different level of spiritual levels in relationship? You know, as we spoke yesterday about diversifying in your investment. So if you invest in your relationship in other areas, eventually this will affect positively your spiritual intimacy, and then you can grow together spiritually. If we are keeping the score, how do we stop this behavior? Maybe we are not daily or on purpose, he is big. We aren't doing it on purpose. It is because we are very aware or observant. You know, I think how you stop it, just make a decision to stop keeping the score. Because keeping the score doesn't mean, it means just low commitment. I'm making a case, I'm developing a case. You know, once you start keeping the score, just you want to prove yourself in any conflict that you are right and he is wrong. And these are the evidences, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For people who are yani committed and dedicatedly committed to the relationship, then actually they need to make, even if you are observant, if you are aware, but don't keep the score. Yes, I'm aware this happened, khalas. Yani if I forgive, let me forget and let me yani go beyond this. People say you must have argument or conflict in order to develop a healthy relationship. If you are dating or engaged and have no argument or challenges, is this a bad sign? In dating and sometimes yani in the first part of engagement, because there is no decision making together, so there is no something to argue about. Arguments start when you start making decisions together. In dating, usually you say to each other yani how much you care for each other, how much you love each other. علشان كده يعني أنا كتير مثلا I give advice to the people who are engaged when you plan for your marriage and plan beyond your marriage. You need actually to start making decisions together. This will show the real personality of the other person. Another thing, actually, sometimes the emotions are very, very high during engagement. So it blinds us and makes us let things go. We don't yani argue about it. But yani if there is no yani argument or conflict, this is not a bad sign. This doesn't mean you will not have a bad marriage. Absolutely not. It's good in it you don't have argument or conflict. In my relationship, I am the compliant one. When I try to state an opinion or make a suggestion, it sometimes causes an issue. Is there a way to feel like I have a voice while not allowing my partner to feel I am trying to control. Having a voice is different from trying to control. Trying to control means it is my way or there will be consequences. That's a control. But I think, and I recommend highly to read the book called Boundaries by John Townsend and Henry Cloud. It's a very good book. It speaks the concept of boundaries and teach you, if you are compliant, how to be assertive. في فرق بين being assertive and being aggressive. Controllers are either manipulative controllers or aggressive controllers. Being an assertive is voicing your opinion. But let me just warn you. Many controllers, they say about themselves they are the compliant. And they say this in order to justify why they want to control. Because my opinion is not heard. So examine yourself carefully, lest you are a manipulative controller. And this question is one of the manipulation to get your way be done. But if you are a true compliant, then you need to learn how to be assertive, how to voice your opinion without making a conflict. That's what we call assertiveness. And the book Boundaries will help you to understand this concept, and there are some exercises you need to learn how to do it. What steps can one take if you are in a marriage where a spouse has spiritually divorced and there is no spiritual intimacy? As I answered before, try to invest in other things, in other areas, and make this bond between both of you grow. Then you can actually start inviting the person, I'm going to pray, do you like to join? Something very non-threatening way, and without blaming, without making judgment. And also, as I said yesterday, you can just give comment, Maslan, during dinner time or talking together. Just say, you know, I heard this verse today, it really touches my heart. In 2 to 3 minutes only, not a sermon, not a lecture. And don't send guilt message, don't blame him. Don't guilt messages and blaming can actually cause more resistance. Also, you can try from every now and then gentle confrontation. I wonder why you don't want to pray with me. Bardo, somebody yesterday came to me and told me after the lecture, if you go together to like a Bible study or a meeting in the church, this can be the starting point for your spiritual intimacy. So decide to do a spiritual activity, maybe outside your home together, going to Bible study, going to midnight praises, doing service together. So this can be the spark that later on will make you grow in your spiritual intimacy together. I know that there is no divorce, but please explain Matthew 5:13, let him give her a certificate of divorce. It was actually about Moses in the Old Testament. It's not about the New Testament. So the Lord said, in the Old Testament divorce was done by individual well. So if a husband want to divorce his wife, and you allah khalas, you are divorced, then she is divorced. So some people in the Old Testament abandon their wife without letting them go. So they totally abandoned, but did not give her the opportunity to go and get married or find somebody else to support her and to take care of her. That's why the Lord said in Matthew 5, verse 31, therefore it has been said in the Old Testament, that's the Old Testament law, whoever divorces his wife, if you divorce your wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. So legally to be divorced. So divorce his wife is the decision. If you decided to divorce her wife, let her legally be separate from you, so she can find another partner or whatever. That's the meaning of this verse. What should a couple's prayer life together look like? Is it a right or wrong way to do it, or is it up to the discretion of each couple? Is there a right or wrong way to do it? Yeah, in my opinion, at least if they can pray morning and night together, this would be wonderful. If they cannot, at least at night, they can pray together and read the scripture together. So there has to be some sort of family activity beside your individual prayer. So at least one time a day, maybe at night, you pray and read the Bible. If you can do it morning and night, this definitely will be amazing. If you can do more than this, will be good. But I think every house is different, every family is different, so choose what's suitable for you. After 9 months of courtship, my partner and I haven't had any argument. Is this normal? That's good. يعني نشكر بين انت عايزين تارجي وخلاص. كويس انت you don't have argument. That's good. Is there a common mistake that couple make that you would recommend avoiding during courtship engagement? Yes. And then you focus on emotions, and you turn a blind eye to things that you see and can be a red flag, can be a threat to your marriage. Another thing, during the engagement, they focus on the day of wedding and all the arrangement of the day of wedding, and they don't focus beyond this. This day is one day. Yani, don't take all your engagement preparing for one day, not considering the rest of your life. But you need to think about the rest of your life. Try to, the engagement time is time to examine and to know each other well. So try to understand the personality, try to connect and see if any red flags during this time you need to pay attention. Yani, I remember about maybe 15 years ago, couple were engaged. وقعدوا معايا وقلت لهم خلوا بالكوا, there is red flag in this relationship. But they turned blind eye completely to what I said. Unfortunately, now they are getting divorced, and One of them is blaming God. I told her, we talked about this during engagement, but you did not take it seriously. So sometimes our emotions blind our eyes to clear things that are clear during the engagement time. وبعد بقى الجواز, then the emotions are gone and I will look at all these red flags and I will regret and I did not pay attention to them during the engagement time. Once a spouse passes away, can the other living spouse approach monasticism? And it don't have conflict with the relative on passing away. There are, يعني, if there is no responsibility, because you don't have children, and there is no moral responsibilities, yes, some monastery can accept widows to be monks or nuns. In Revelation 5:2, what is the meaning of the scroll? The scroll actually has all these seals, the seven seals that were opened, and then each seal was explained later on. So if you want to know what is the meaning of the scroll, you need to study the seven seals that start from Revelation chapter 6. You're like, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, this is with a voice like a thunder, come and see. So these seals are the explanation of what's written in the scroll. Why the Gospel of John is a specific about the handkerchief being folded at the head in the tomb of the Lord resurrection? You know that the shroud, yani if you study the shroud of our Lord Jesus Christ, yani it goes under his body, and then from the head, actually, it covers him again. So it's like this. Yani if this is the body, it goes under the body, and then it goes from the head above. So there was another handkerchief on the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there was a rumor that the body was stolen. If you are stealing a body, you will not fold the handkerchief and put it in one place, and the shroud, you fold them carefully and put it in another place. A person who is stealing, he just want to run, and maybe he will take the shroud and the handkerchief with him. So Saint John, because he wrote his gospel later, so he was responding to the accusation or the rumor that his body was stolen as eyewitness, because Saint John was a witness of the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as eyewitness, he said, no, the handkerchief was there and the shroud was there folded nicely. Is it important or okay for him to have his friends and for her to have her friends? I think we can talk about after marriage. طبعا after marriage we think about us, but from now and then, if he has friends that you are not the friend of your spouse, or if she has friends that are not a friend, nothing wrong to have your own friends, and she has her own friends, and then the common friends for the couple, nothing wrong with that. How should we begin to discuss each of the deep needs together as husband-wife? I think, number one, we need to be aware of this need. And you can express that you need to discuss this. Both of you agree on a certain time that both of you are ready to discuss this issue. You cannot discuss more than one need per time, and you cannot discuss all the six needs in one time. This will be overwhelming. Also, you need to put time to start and to end. يعني after مثلا hour and a half, you will be, both of you will be very exhausted. So you need actually to put like hour or hour and a half, and if you did not finish by this time, then you can continue at another time. You start the meeting or this session by praying, asking God to guide both of you. Then one person should speak, the person who has a concern about this need, should speak objectively, saying facts, not analyzing the other person, not saying reckless words. Yeah, for example, if I'm speaking about care, I should not start by using, you don't care about me, you don't love me. These are attacking words. That's why they say use I statement, not you statement. I feel I am not cared for. That's your feeling. And that's how you feel. So there is no attack here. But if you say, you don't care for me, that's an attacking word. So use I statement. For example, when you mention examples, be objective. You know, when you did this, I felt I am not cared for or I'm not loved. And the other person should listen actively and not becoming defensive at all. And after the first person finish, the other person will take his turn to speak. Speaking in a non-defensive way, you need to validate the feeling, and validation doesn't mean agreeing, but validating means you empathize with the person. Then you need to paraphrase what the other person said. This will be a message that you listened carefully to everything he or she said. And then you need to start making your comments in a positive way. And if there is anything need to be explained, then you need to explain it. And if certain things were done or wrong or misunderstanding, you can apologize for them, or you can ask forgiveness. So when we speak in a constructive way like this, it will be actually very successful at the end. And the goal at the end, the goal is not about who is right and who is wrong, but the goal is reconciliation. Many times we are focused in such sessions, who is right and who is wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who is right, who is wrong. Make the goal how to reconcile. عشان كده, and sometimes I go to the people, I have two hats, the hat of the judge and the hat of the counselor. When I meet with a couple with the hat of a counselor, it doesn't matter to me who is right and who is wrong, But what matters to me, how to reconcile and live in peace. But like in clerical council, I have to have the hat of a judge, because at the end I will say this person will take permit for my remarriage, this person doesn't take permit for remarriage. This is different. So in this meeting, you both of you should have the hat of a counselor. We are here to reconcile and to have peace. We are here, I'm not to prove that you are wrong and I'm right. This attitude actually will make escalation in the session. Like if we have the right attitude, it doesn't matter. خلاص أنا غلطان. It's okay if أنا غلطان. But the goal here is not if I am wrong or not. The goal here is how to reconcile and live peacefully with one another. What is the correct way to think about priorities? God, work, spouse, children, family, service. I have one concern about this. When we say God, God is not just a task. So God, work, spouse, children, family, service, it's not. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he said, whatever you do, whether eating or drinking or doing anything else, doing for the glory of God. So God actually exists in all these things. When I work for the glory of God. When I spend time with my spouse, it's for the glory of God. When I take care of my children, it's for the glory of God. When I take care of my parents and my family, it is for the glory of God. When I serve, it's for the glory of God. I don't want you to split your life. Life with God and life for other things or activities in your life. And then actually, your marriage should take priority. If you lost, God forbid, if you lost your work, God will send another job for you. But if you lost your family through divorce, this will be very, very destructive to you, to your spouse, to your children. So your family, which means spouse and children, should be priority for you. Regarding annulment in our church, do we believe that because the marriage was built on a false ground, our church can dissolve it? Yes, if it is built on falsehood. Does that mean we are releasing the sacrament, reversing the sacrament, or just acting as if it did not happen? If so, what does that mean? Okay. God gives the church the authority to bind and to lose. When God united this couple together, how he united them? It is through the priesthood. You know? So as God united them through the priesthood, God also, the Holy Spirit, can dissolve this marriage through the priesthood. So it is a dissolution of the marriage through the steward of God, the priesthood. Your Grace mentioned the huge distinction between a sacramental marriage and a non-sacramental marriage. So if a couple together from Protestantism, are converted together from Protestantism, does our church require them to remarry sacramentally? Absolutely, yes, of course. And if couple converted from Protestantism to Orthodoxy, after we baptize both of them, we do crowning ceremony for both of them. Absolutely. Recently, we have seen the addition of the vows to the crowning ceremony. What are the purpose of these vows? Why have been recently added? The final decision about adding the vows is not yet made. In the last Holy Synod meeting, this was a discussion. There was a discussion about adding vows, and also there was a draft. But this draft, yes, draft was released, but not finalized yet. And that's why maybe in the next Holy Synod meeting, the discussion will be whether we're going to finalize it or not. And if we are going to finalize it, then actually an official statement or text about the vow will be released from the Holy Synod. Until this moment, there is no official statement or text for the vow. Many people who are, many churches who are using the vows, if you ask them, from where did you get this? From the newspaper. I heard, Abba Daniel, in one of the interview, he read it. But do you think that the church should be run this way? If you want to send the vows, it will be sent through your bishops, your priests, with the Holy Synod. You are not going to get it from a newspaper. When I called Abba Daniel, the secretary of the Holy Synod, and to make sure what I understand is correct, and he told me, until now, the official text of the vow is not released yet. Based on this, we don't use it because there is no official text. The idea of the vows, during the time of Pope Shenouda, the added vow before the ordination of the priest and before the ordination of the bishop and before the ordination of the monk. To give, a sense of responsibility and seriousness. When you vow, it is more than when you listen. In the crowning ceremony, you listen to the catechesis or the commandment. But when you say, I vow before God, it will make you more serious. So there was an idea to add a vow to the crowning ceremony as we added vow to the ordination of the priest. Ordination and ordination of the bishop and the ordination of the monks. Lakin some people also have a concern about the vow, and they say that the focus of the crowning ceremony is the crowning itself and the descent of the Holy Spirit. It's not on the vow. Lisa Zamboloko, it's not finalized yet. So, God willing, in the next Holy Synod meeting, there will be more discussion about it, whether to approve it or not, and if it's approved, what will be the formal text. And once we have this formal text or the final text of the vow, we will add it even to Coptic Reader, so it will be used in all the churches, God willing. How do you create a strong friendship if you don't have many shared interests? Then why, how did you attract each other? But actually, you can start thinking about common activities, even if both of you are not interested in it. Do you remember when I was speaking about the dedication, commitment? I said the willingness to sacrifice. So happily, so you will choose to do common activity with your spouse, even if you don't like. And both of you will do this, it's not only one. And this actually will create an atmosphere of talking together and doing something together. Another thing, actually, friendship is not only about activities, but about talking like a friend, spend the quality time together. فبرضو how to talk as friends and how to spend the quality time together, it is very, very important. And there are many common things, يعني انت برضو ممكن, you can talk together about مثلا حاجات from the scripture you enjoy, about your work and your work, good experiences or good memories in your life, in your engagement, in your courtship. So all these things actually, and if you think about it, there are many, many things you can talk together and you can do together. In John 5:37, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me, you have neither heard his voice at any time. Heard means obeyed his voice, not just listening. Zemesan, you say to your son, do you hear me? Yes, he's hearing you, but you mean, do you obey me? Do you pay attention to what I'm saying? Did we not hear the Father's voice in Epiphany or Transfiguration? Yes, we heard him. But لما ربنا بيقول لهم you have neither heard his voice, you mean you did not pay attention to what he said. You did not obey him. Then he came and took the scroll at the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Who are he? He is the Son and him is the Father. Yes, many people saw the Father, by the way. Daniel saw the Father because he saw the one of ancient days sitting on the throne, and then one looked like Son of Man approached him. So both of them cannot be the Son. One is the Father and one is the Son. In John chapter 5, as you said, the Lamb is the Son, and the one who is sitting on the throne is the Father. But how John tells us no one has seen the Father. Seen here means know the Father. No one has know the Father, and the Son revealed him. The Son who is in the bosom of the Father has revealed him. So the كلمة here doesn't mean just listen. Here means obey. Seen doesn't mean seen just you see him, but means understand, comprehend, know, being revealed to you. How can you find the balance between giving of yourself selflessly and acknowledging that there is a need or a feeling of neglect and expressing it? One who gives selflessly may be inclined to not express their need. بالعكس, يعني أنا in my lecture yesterday I said, if you feel that you are neglected, you need to talk about it. And the Lord said, if your brother sinned against you, go and talk to him about it. But the balance here, in it, you are not putting giving yourself selflessly as a condition. If the other person did not satisfy this need, then you will stop sacrificing. So you will continue to sacrifice, and at the same time, you will ask, and you can discuss for a need if you feel neglected or this need is not satisfied. There is no contradiction between both of them. I will continue to sacrifice. I will continue to give myself selflessly, but in the meantime, if I feel neglected or ignored, I can ask for this. There is no contradiction between this and that. Is it okay to have a separate time with girlfriends or guy friends after marriage? For example, guys' night out every Friday. What is a good balance? طبعاً, after you give priority to a time, quality time with your spouse, this is a priority. Then nothing wrong actually if, مثلاً, you go with your friends, مثلاً, one time out. Like if this is the only time available for your family and for your spouse to go out or spend time together, and if you are taking this time to go out with your friends, then actually you are not giving priority to your marriage. So number one priority to your spouse, to your children, and after this, if there is extra time, nothing wrong to go out with your friends, to have time with them. Can you comment on the church teaching annulment in premarital courses, yet at the same time is opposed to prenuptial agreement? It appears as both would act as a seed for a way out and can may deter commitment. Please comment on the value gained by premarital course teaching annulment requirement. Actually, there is a big difference between annulment and prenuptial agreement. Annulment, we are saying, if you are lying or dishonest about something, actually, there is a big possibility after you get married, and this marriage will be annulled. So it's better for you to be honest. So it's teaching honesty here. When we speak about annulment, they're teaching honesty here in the premarital. Yani, if somebody, مثلاً, has an affair and has a child and pay child support, this must be revealed completely before marriage. And the spouse should sign a document that she knows or he knows about this and they accept this. مثلاً, if somebody has a serious illness that can prevent him from or prevent her from having children or having a normal sexual life, that has to be revealed before marriage. يعني, and I don't see إن إحنا لما نتكلم على annulment in premarital course that إحنا are encouraging or deterring commitment. إحنا are encouraging honesty. You need to be honest before getting married. Like a prenuptial agreement that has nothing to do with annulment. They بيقولوا إحنا, if we get divorced, that's how we're gonna split our assets. That's different. What is the church stance of receiving communion during menstruation? Not the Holy Synod. Not making a new resolution, because this practice is kept in the church for 2,000 years. So the Holy Synod about 3 years ago, and I was in this committee who drafted the resolution. We said we don't consider that the woman during menstruation is spiritually unclean. No, she is not unclean. She is clean. She is pure. We are purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So she definitely, during the period, she is pure. But for the reference of the sacrament, she should not partake of communion. Not only the woman of the females, even males, if they have a nocturnal emission, they cannot take communion pardon, because of the reference. Unless there is something urgent, مثلا, حد يعني is dying or whatever, then in this case, in an extremely urgent situation, they can get an absolution and take communion during this time. Extremely urgent, مش راح مثلا كانوا مسافر النهاردة, it's urgent, no. So extremely urgent and extremely urgent. If a spouse job is demanding, should they pick a different job? يعني if there is a different job, give him more time and to his family, and also give him the يعني the financial needs, cover their financial needs, why not? طبعا ده حاجة أحسن طبعا for the family. Is there a biblical or historical foundation for annulment? If not, how was the decision made by the steward to allow annulment? In our church, actually, the decisions, يعني the بسموه إيه, were not like the Protestant. We believe in sola scriptura, يعني only the Bible. But the Bible, the holy tradition, the council of the church, the saying of the early church fathers, all of this actually composed the teaching in the church. So the Bible is part of it. So maybe there is not a text in the Bible about annulment, a clear text about annulment. But the context of the annulment mangood in the teaching of the early church father, in the council, and also in the common sense. If something based on falsehood, it is false. And God actually, there is something called economia. Economia, God actually gave the church the authority to bind and lose. He said, whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven, whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. So the church has the right to bind and to lose. And this is not against the teaching of the church. So the authority of the church comes from the Bible, from the holy tradition, from the early church father, from the councils of the church. When a convert marries an Orthodox believer and they are Catholic, do they need to be baptized or just chrismated? In our church, actually, and with all honesty, I like to say there are two schools in our church. One school says the Catholic Church is an apostolic church, although there are many, many disagreements with them. Lakin they are apostolic church. So they say there is difference between accepting the baptism of the Catholic and between to baptize a Catholic person want to join the Orthodox Church. Do you understand the difference? Accepting the baptism of the Catholic means accepting their faith, their beliefs, their doctrines, because baptism is based on faith. One faith, one baptism. So all of us, here there is no two different schools, one is school. All of us, we agree that until now, we don't accept the baptism of the castle, right? So there is consensus about this. So let's come, what about a Catholic person became Orthodox in his belief system? He doesn't believe in two natures, he doesn't believe in the procession of the Holy Spirit from Father and the Son, he doesn't believe in purgatory. So he became Orthodox. To accept him in the church, should I baptize him or not baptize him? And here there are two schools. Some people say, no, we should not baptize him because he came from an apostolic church, and this doesn't mean we accept the baptism of the Catholic. If I'm just accepting this person into the Orthodox Church, so chrismation would be enough. The other school says, but there is excommunication between us and the Catholic Church. And because of the excommunication, for example, if there is a priest, a Coptic Orthodox priest, who is excommunicated and baptizes somebody, are you going to accept this baptism or not? So there is excommunication, and the anathemas are not left. So the other schools say we need to baptize the Catholic just because there is excommunication. The first group reply and say, but when we make it like this, we are going to lose many people. They will go and marry in the Catholic Church and in the Eastern Orthodox Church because they don't require this. And we were speaking about the economy. So through the economy that God gave us, you should accept them even with chrismation only in order to not to lose our people into other denomination. The other people say, no, we should not compromise the truth. If they are excommunicated, then they are excommunicated. So there is no consensus about this. It is a point of two schools, and each school has their own argument about whether should accept them by baptism or by chrismation only. But there is consensus about not accepting the Catholic baptism because oneness or unity in faith should come before accepting their baptism. To be one in faith, that's before accepting their baptism. When we accepted the baptism of the Greek Orthodox Church or Eastern Orthodox Church, because we found our faith is exactly like their faith, but now we are working on how to lift the anathemas between both churches in order to be one. I hope now I was able to explain the difference between accepting the baptism, the Catholic baptism, without changing any doctrines, or accepting person who became Orthodox and his belief system is Orthodox, and accepting him into the Orthodox Church with or without baptism. I hope this distinction is clear between this and that. Thanks so much, and I hope that these lectures will help us to enrich our marriage, to have dedication, commitment, and to fight for our marriage so we can have happy and joyful marriage through the grace of God. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.